Hey, welcome to the program. How are you today? Great. Ron, you're way too happy. That's not good. That's not part of your personality for this show. You can't be that happy.
Well, why not? Why can't I be
No, you're ruining everything. No, oh my God, shut up immediately. Don't do that. Hey, yesterday I went to, I got a great show for you today, by the way, so just hang on for a minute. Went to CVS yesterday. I think everybody goes to CVS eventually. It's like dying. Eventually, you're going to go to CVS. I have a CVS card. Actually, I have two of them. One doesn't work. I have a CVS card, but you really don't need it because every time you buy something, you get like 2,000 coupons, and every single coupon is for something that you don't need. It's amazing how they figure that out. It is. In other stores, you buy something, like you buy paper towels, and you'll get a coupon for toilet paper or more paper towels. No, not at CVS. If you buy paper towels, you get a coupon for mascara, which is obviously the next logical step. I have no idea what they do. So anyway, so I'm buying this stuff at CVS, and I try not to. And then I'm going to the checkout counter, which is up near the front door of the store, which is where checkout counters usually are. And there's nobody there. There's nobody there. Nobody. Instead, where the checkout counter could be, they've got about four or five stations where you can check out behind this long desk. But there's nobody there. And I turn around, and I'm looking, and there's nobody there. I start to get a little upset because here's the theory. I'm ready to give you money. You got nobody there to take it from me. I think I'm being pretty generous by offering to give you money. If you don't have somebody standing behind the counter eager to take my money, there's something wrong with your business situation. Instead, I walk up to the counter. And there is this little bell. It's a bell. The kind that you find at the front desk of a hotel. Of a bad hotel. One of those little things where you tap it on the top and it goes ding. And the bellboy comes over and takes your suitcases. Actually, would it be a bellboy or a bell girl or a bell person? I don't think they figured that one out yet. A bell captain? I don't know. All based on the fact that you need a bell to summon them. So there's nobody there. And there's a sign next to the bell, and it says, for service or checkout, please ring bell. How archaic are we getting? Where am I living? I live in a pretty large area with a city, like right at my doorstep. And here, I have to ring a bell to get someone from the back room to check me out. You expect a guy to come hobbling out of the back with a cane or a walker with gray hair flowing down in front of their face.
Nice morning, isn't it? Beautiful day outside. I was telling the wife, this is a hell of a day. Beautiful day. What brings you to our parts? Did your bus break down? What brings you to our parts here?
No, it's CVS. You're in a city. What are you doing with a bell? This young lady comes running over at a very slow pace. I think she was stocking a shelf. What, does CVS just hire one person per shift? Is that the way they work?
Well, we save a lot of money. That's how we can keep prices low.
Your prices aren't that low.
One person per store? What is that?
I'm not talking about the pharmacist. There's usually like 20 of those. But work in the store itself, one girl who pretty much has got to get home and study for her high school exam. So she says, did you find everything you were looking for? And I didn't say this. I wanted to say it. It would have been the perfect line. Did you find everything you're looking for? Well, I couldn't find the checkout person. So actually, I paid for my stuff sheepishly. She wanted to see my CVS card. I told her, that's personal. It's none of your business. I happen to have one. What do you want to know about it for? She says, well, I have to scan it with my scanning gun. Oh, why don't you just scan it with the bell?
Ding!
But she was a nice girl. It wasn't her fault that they only hired one person for the whole store at any given time. It's not her fault. She doesn't run it. She's not Mrs. CVS.
I'm married to Mr. CVS.
She's just a lonely girl trying to get herself through high school and get rid of her facial problems. That's all she's trying to do. That's all. Not a big deal. Just a safe, dry place to do her homework. That's all she's looking for. So I pay her for the products, and as I'm walking out of the store, I'm saying to myself, this sucks. This is pretty weird. This is weird. They spit out like 100 coupons for things I don't need, but if I did, there'd be nobody to take my money to check me out. This is a business model that is just crying for help. I don't understand. I don't understand. Are all CVSs like this? Probably not. Probably not. I don't go to a lot of CVSs. I don't go unless I have to. When I need to go to a drugstore, I'm sorry, they don't call them drugstores, they're pharmacies. Sorry. When I have to go to a pharmacy, I have to plan the day. I have to bring a sandwich. Perhaps I'll bring my own bell next time and drive them crazy. I'll ring my own bell from down a quiet aisle and drive the store clerk crazy. Where'd the bell come from? Well, there's no where'd that bell sound come from? I wonder if CVS employees, when they get home, when they hear a bell, they just all of a sudden flip out. I'm not even at work, but I hear a bell. I'm hearing a bell. I'm going crazy. Probably.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ding.
Whatever.
If I had any production value at all, I'd probably record the sound of a bell, but I don't have that kind of production value. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Ding, ding.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours.
Really?
And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for asking. You're really welcome. You're welcome is what you are. You're welcome. On today's program, I've got an incredible guest. I always find guests incredible when they relate to something that I'm having a problem with. This show, to me, is like the opportunity to speak for professionals in any field in which I have a question, and they answer me professionally. That's pretty cool. I don't have to Google. All I have to do is call up and get the guests. When I have a concern or a question, I don't say, "Hey Alexa or Siri." I don't do that. I don't have to do anything like that. I can call guests, doctors and lawyers and experts and heads of companies. It's fantastic. Of course, I can't invite them over for dinner because they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. Ron invited us over to dinner at his house. Oh, don't go there. No, the guy's weird. Don't go to his house. They never leave. Actually, they do. Did I ever tell you this story? Sure, I've told you every story I've got. When I have a party, and sometimes I do because I'm so socially active. I'll wait for you to stop laughing. Are you done? Okay. I'm so socially active. I have a couple of parties a year in my abode. And I invite people, and I have these little e-invites or evites, whatever you call a stupid thing. Everything's got an E in front of it now because of this, you know, whatever. Evites, I-vites, I don't know. And I say on the invitation, you're invited to one of Ron's spectacularly boring parties. Actually, my parties are quite incredible. I don't do anything boring because I get too bored immediately myself. So I make damn sure that I'm not bored. I don't care about you in that sense. I make sure I'm not bored, and therefore my guests won't be. I do incredible multimedia things in my parties. I have musicians and performers. I really do. I mean, why just, you know, hand out hors d'oeuvres? Why not make it, like, really entertaining? So I do. So on the invitations, I say, party at Ron's house from 7:30 to 9:30. And the odd part about that is the ending time. Most people can't get used to the fact that, oh my God, he's put an ending time on his party. And I do that on purpose because people tend not to leave. I call it verbal diarrhea. Some people just don't stop talking. Now, I do this professionally, so I have to. Otherwise, you just hear dead air for half an hour and you wouldn't listen anymore. But in real life, I'm not like this. So, and I don't like other people not leaving. I like people to know there's an end to this. You can come, but you also have to leave. So I suggest you get to my parties exactly at starting time. You can form a line outside the door, and I'll let you in at the starting time. But when it's over, the lights are going out, and your cars are being towed. So I do 7:30 to 9:30, and if you don't get to your car by, say, 9:35, there will be no car. You will have to get an Uber or something, and you would say, Ron, that means they have to wait around your house for the Uber to show up. No, they wait outside. Look, I have my rules and my regulations. I also don't serve food at my parties that can fall on the floor. No falling on the floor food. No one's going to be walking around with popcorn in their hand with little kernels falling over my floor. That's not happening. I don't serve popcorn. I don't serve potato chips. No dips, my God. Eugh. Eugh. After I have a party, I throw all the food out immediately because I realize, I don't know if people have sneezed in it, touched it. I don't know what they've done with the food, but it's all going in the garbage. Ron, why don't you give it to a charity? Because the people that they hand it out to at charities, they deserve clean food as well. They're not mongers. Well, I'll eat anything, even if it's infected. I don't want them eating that. So I don't give it away. I throw it out. But Ron, there are people starving in other countries. What do you want me to do? By the time, if I ship my food over there, by the time they got the food, it would all be spoiled anyway. What am I supposed to do? No one's figured this out but me. That's the problem. All right. My guest today is interesting to me, as I started saying. As I get older, I am now 15 years old. What, I can't lie about my age? Anyway, I'm now 15 years old, and I'm starting to pee in the middle of the night. Have I always done this? Yeah, off and on. Yeah. If I have too much water before I go to bed. See, here's the problem with you people. You doctors tell me to drink water all day. Stay hydrated, especially during the summer. And especially during the winter, and especially during the fall, and especially during the spring. Make sure you're hydrated all the time. Drink water continually. Put a hose in your mouth and continue hydrating yourself always every second. Well, that works until you go to bed. And then you find you're getting up to pee about every 10 minutes. And this is for women, too. It's not just men. It's just not postural. It's for men and women. We drink too much water. We pee way too much. So I thought we would talk to a doctor today about excessive peeing at night. It stops you from getting a good night's sleep continually. But I don't want to take pills. I don't want to pop pills to solve problems. I think problems should be solved internally by one's own psyche through a meditation and yoga and yogurt. And, of course, that's crap. None of that really works. Oh, it's wonderful. And you can meditate. I can't meditate. Give me a break. You think my mind can just stop on a dime and just chill out? If it could, I wouldn't have to meditate. So instead of meditate, I medicate. And that's not a good idea. So what to do? So I found a doctor, a guest today, who's going to talk about that. Is there any way that you can get a good night's sleep without peeing in the middle of the night and without, like, you know, dehydration? I think these are important things to know. I can't imagine why you haven't really Googled this already. Maybe you have on the dark web. I can't go to the dark web. I don't understand the dark web. I don't understand what it is. If it's so dark, how can you see the screen? How can you see what's going on if it's so dark? Well, Ron, maybe it's dark in a dark manner, not the shading, not the light, but dark in the mean sense, in the evil sense. Oh, is that what you... Oh, I'm not going there. What if I go to the dark web and they get my dark web address, and then they start hounding me with emails saying, Ron, it's been a while since you've been on the dark web. We have your email address, and we can get into your computer, because we're the dark web. I don't know what the dark web is. I don't want to see it. I don't want to go there. Dark web? What? Some people find that exhilarating. Well, break out the whips and chains. I still don't, I shouldn't say this. Well, I will. Well, if I shouldn't say it, then of course I will. I've met some people that are really into whips and chains. I don't know how I found out. It kind of slipped in conversation. And they tell me that they like to be smacked and whipped. And my relationship with them changes rather quickly. I mean, perhaps for some in a fantasy situation that might be exhilarating. But in the real world, that's a little ridiculously scary. Yeah, I like bruises all over my body. I like to be smacked. I like to be tortured. I like you to take my nipples and tie them around my neck. I like to have my legs stretched to 20 feet long. I love to have you burn a cigarette in my forehead. I find that sexual. Right? Really? Try the normal way. That's not so bad either. But Ron, you've got to introduce excitement into your sexual experience. Not by twisting my nipples. Do not twist my nipples. There should be a little sign on my nipples that say, do not twist under penalty of law. Do not twist my nipples.
The three sweetest words in podcasting... Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
Well, anyway, my guest is coming up rather soon. I'm... killing time, is that what I'm doing? Sounds like what my life is like, just killing time. I got to find something to do with my life besides doing this radio stuff and the various other. Well, how did under replace other somehow in my brain when I said that? I don't know. I've got to find something to do. I don't work 9 to 5 quite obviously anymore. So I need to find something to do. And one of my friends, well, quote unquote friends, I'm sorry, I really where that belongs is with quotes, says, "Ron, why don't you learn to play golf?" And I said, "What? What? Learn to play golf? First of all, I don't have the pastel colored pants to play golf. And unless you have pastel colored pants, you can't play golf seriously. Second, the people that play golf are not my kind of people. I don't know why. They just don't seem to be. I don't think I can ever get excited about getting up early in the morning and hitting a ball around with a stick. Sorry. Doesn't excite me. Of course, I don't want my nipples twisted either, so we have to find something in between. And then we'll be good." All right. We're going to talk to the doctor right after this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook. I am naked.
Hello, Dr. Brucker.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great. Dr. Benjamin Brucker joins us. He's with the Department of Urology at New York University, my alma mater. Yay. Okay.
But, great.
But not
good to talk to you.
Yes. Not particularly in that field, though.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I think once a violet, always a violet.
Yeah,
something like that, right?
Something like that. It was a long time ago. Yeah, you know, it's almost like I was going to call you anyway, because what we're talking about is something that I go through every once in a while as well. And I know you've taken a survey about people who have this concern about getting up in the middle of the night and having to urinate. And I think it's just a sign of getting older. Is that true, or is this, can this happen to anybody?
Well, so I think that those are all great points, and I think what your sort of assessment of the situation is actually shared by a lot of people.
Yeah.
So the poll that you're alluding to, we have a Harris poll of more than 2,000 U.S. adults endorsed by the Simon Foundation for Continence, National Association of Continence, Caregiver Action Network, and the Prostate Condition Education Council. And it found that a third of U.S. adults wake up more than one time a night to urinate, and that's a condition known as nocturia. Now, half of the people reported that they thought it was a normal part of aging. So you're in the majority there.
Yes.
And what the sort of alarming number is about 30% of patients said that they believed that there was nothing that could be done about it. So the poll shows that nocturia affects a third of U.S. adults. 64% of Americans had no idea that it was a diagnosable, treatable medical condition.
Mm. What is actually happening here when one does interrupt their sleep for frequent urination? What's going on physically?
Right. So, you know, and again, I did want to mention when you said it's just a part of normal aging, there are certain things that do get more common as people get older.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it's a normal part of aging. So that's, I think, just important for the listeners to realize,
again,
things like cancer, high blood pressure. You don't see a lot of that in an 18-year-old,
right.
More common in a 50-year-old,
right.
but certainly we still do things to treat those.
Right.
So nocturia forces a person to get up more than once a night, and it causes, it's really the leading cause of loss of sleep. And sleep really, we understand, has a profound impact on our overall health. So with the lack of sleep, we have some serious sleep sort of deprivation consequences. So sleepless nights can lead to obesity, cardiovascular disease, cognitive impairment, depression. So again, we have this condition that can cause lots of problems, and yet our poll shows that about 72% of Americans have never heard about nocturia, even though a third of the people are suffering from getting up two or more times a night.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm in that group. It's good to know I belong at least. Okay.
Yes, you're welcome with us.
Yes. So the threshold that you're talking about would be getting up more than once.
Yes, so, you know, there are different definitions, and in the medical community, we have to define things in certain ways. The International Continence Society, so a bunch of docs like me that sit around in rooms and try to understand how these conditions can affect people, have said if you get up once a night or more to urinate, that is called nocturia. But we have a lot of data that suggests if you get up one time a night, it's not as impactful. And so the FDA, the governing body that sort of approves medications and sort of looks at disease states so we can figure out treatments for them, has defined nocturia as waking up two or more times a night to urinate. And that's a definition that a lot of us practicing clinicians use to say, hey, if it's one time, it probably doesn't have as profound effect. If it's two time, that's when we're going to start having an impact. It's important to remember when you get up to urinate at night, patients can't fall back asleep.
That's the point.
You're waking your partner up. People are also subject to trips and falls in the middle of the night, and certainly some of the older patients that we see that may have more mobility issues, vision issues, maybe balance issues, this really can have a profound impact. You know, some of the data says that every 19 minutes an older adult dies from a fall, and that's really a fall usually at night, and that's according to the National Council on Aging. So something as simple as, hey, mom's getting up a couple of times a night to urinate, and you know, I'm not so worried about that. Not only can the cognitive, you know, impairment, depression, cardiovascular disease be an issue, but falls are something that we need to consider as well in some demographics.
Very quickly, as a layperson, what's actually happening here? When I go to the bathroom and then I feel empty, I've cleaned myself out, I can't go no more, and then 2 hours later, it's like I never went. What is happening there? I thought that I had drained myself. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. So that's a great point. And I think what you're getting at is exactly where some of our misconception has been for a long time. People have often thought, especially in men, if you pee at night, it must be from your prostate. And what does the prostate do? It can grow. It can cause blockages. So maybe the issue is, well, my prostate's big. I try to pee and I'm not emptying. It turns out Harris poll data shows 70% of Americans waking to urinate at night, at least twice, are not experiencing urinary frequency or urgency or daytime symptoms. And really what the underlying problem is, in most cases of nocturia, is something called nocturnal polyuria. So what that is in layman's terms is you're basically producing too much urine at night. So the way you describe it is absolutely accurate. Maybe you do pee and maybe you do empty your bladder all the way. You go to sleep, but your kidneys are on overdrive and they're making too much urine. So instead of being able to sleep 4, 6, 8 hours, 2 hours go by, you get the trigger to go again, and you got to get up and go to the bathroom you're really producing too much urine at night.
So would it help not to drink that much water after a certain hour? Could that be a resolve in that sense?
So that's another great point. So, you know, we as clinicians have told patients to do things like that. You know, don't drink so much before you go to bed. Don't drink coffee. It can help in some cases. You do see some decline. The issue is people don't really stick with that because who wants to stop drinking fluid 4 hours before you go to bed? Now, we do have some new data on a new therapy called Noctiva. It's a new FDA-approved nasal spray to sort of help with nocturia. And the reason I'm mentioning this is in the study of this drug, the makers and the manufacturers of the drug said, look, you know what, don't tell patients to do anything with their diet. Just, you know, don't give them regulations. Don't tell them they can't have coffee. Don't tell them they can't drink water before bed. And they used the therapy, and in fact, lo and behold, it reduced the number of voids at night. So what that tells me is, you know, in some cases diet can help, but let's, you know, let's be realistic. How many of us have started diets and they're hard to stick to, or sort of, you know, restricting fluids? You know, do you want to have to go out to dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon because you go to bed at around 9 or 10 o'clock at night? No one really wants to do that. So the answer is sometimes it can be fluid consumption, but there is also a lack of sensitivity to a chemical called vasopressin, which sort of helps concentrate urine, and that's really probably the underlying mechanism of why just restricting fluid alone doesn't work.
All right, Niz, you said something very interesting to me, because I think I'm like a lot of people in the sense that I don't want to take another pill. You know, most people, when they become a senior, they're already on a good regimen of all kinds of stuff. You don't want to add to that. You've mentioned that this is a nasal application.
Yes, so the medication I mentioned, Noctiva, FDA recently approved the first drug for nocturia, and it is a meter dose nasal spray.
Yes.
You take it one spray, one nostril, one time at night, just before bed. There's some large clinical studies evaluating Noctiva, demonstrating efficacy and safety. And I think what you mentioned about the nasal spray does help in my clinical practice. Patients use it, and if you're taking 6 or 7 medications, you don't want to take another pill.
That's my point.
Certainly, if you're taking a pill and then taking a glass of water with the pill, that's also not good before you go to bed.
Wow. That's a big wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a pretty simple way of using it. You know, I have my patients sort of leave it right by their bedside before they go to bed. You don't have to get up, get the water, you know, sort of swish and swallow, nothing like that. It's even easier than brushing your teeth.
It's worth a shot to see if that actually makes a difference. That's fantastic. All right, how do I get more information about that?
Yes, so I think that for information, certainly the two websites I would encourage listeners to look at for information on nocturia, www.whatisnocturia.com, because again, as our poll data shows, a lot of people don't even know what it is, so let's educate ourselves. And then for treatment, you can go to www.noctiva.com, that's N-O-C-T-I-V-A.com. There certainly are advocacy groups that funded the work that we had done here, so the Simon Foundation for Continence, National Association of Continence, the Caregiver Action Network, and the Prostate Condition Education Council. There's also funding from Avadel Pharmaceutical, the maker of Noctiva, and Serenity Pharmaceutical, and really their goal was to ensure that the public had knowledge about the impact of this condition. And I am a speaker for Avadel, but as I mentioned, I use the medication, I see my patients getting good night's sleep, which I think is really, it can have a profound positive impact on health.
Absolutely. Last question very quickly. Over the counter or prescription?
So this is a prescription medication.
Okay.
Like any medication, there are some things you got to talk to your doctor about, make sure that there are not any reasons why this medication is not right for you.
Okay.
And there's some simple stuff that you can do to sort of make sure that when you're using it, that you remain safe. So definitely the first step is understand that it is a treatable condition called nocturia. Start talking about that with your doctors. And if your doctors, you know, don't know much about it or sort of say, it's just your prostate, you could say, well, I heard on the radio they were talking about this new medication, Noctiva, and maybe get a little more information on it, and maybe you and your doctor can go along this education together of sort of finding out about this very common cause of interrupted sleep.
Great. I love doing interviews where I find out something I didn't know about. That's very cool. Dr. Benjamin Brocker.
And it's fun for me to talk to someone who's I guess, experienced it and understands the potential impact. So
there
it was great talking with you today.
Good. You take care. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this has been an experience that I'll never forget. For at least an hour. At least an hour I'll remember this. I hope that you've had a little bit of fun here, and maybe you've learned something. Maybe you laughed a little bit. I don't know. Really, I can't tell. It's hard to read you. But that's why I like you, because it's hard to read you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. Come back again tomorrow, will you? Promise? Is that an appointment that we've just made? Did we just make a date? Really? That's so cool. Very nice. Nice, very nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.